Marty, you ready, brother? Come on up. Brother Marty is, we've been trying to make this happen for several weeks, and they were in Honduras and just different things going on, and so thankful for this man and what he is in the kingdom, what he is in our life. And thank you, brother. Thank you for your yes. Thank you for getting bloody. You know, I can see you being one of these guys that's like, I have no idea how to get that off the cross, but let's dive in. And I love that about you. So without further ado, I'm going to turn over to Brother Marty.
Thank you for really some kind words. I mean, seriously, thank you. And how about the... Errol said that we could turn everything off and throw lights and strobe lights and all that stuff on. So, you know, I'm down with that. You know, I love the decoration. So honor you and the guys that everyone has that has come to help and decorate for kickstarting tonight. These things do not just automatically poof the magic dragon and appear. Blood, sweat, and tears. So thanks, Ariel, and everyone that has come to decorate. Last Sunday, I saw you at early morning coffee, but. No. No. No, I love her. No. It's you know, you like to see people's faces. And she's one of the ones that I love to see. I love to see faces. But last Sunday, and this is not to, I think along with everything that has been sung or saying, I don't know the correct, my correction, people are not up, sitting over there. Hannah's not the one that will correct my language or my grammar. But anyway, out of all the things that have been said, that have been saying, and along with last Sunday, I think for me, to journey along in the journey that he's called us all to, there's going to have to be some monuments. There's going to have to be some times that God's met us in places that we're going to have to memorialize, not in worship to it, but in honor of what he's done and where he met us and how he's marked us. One of those is kind of the first song, Is He Worthy? The longer I go on this journey is, you know, I had this idea that I was going to add Jesus to my life and it was just going to be perfect. My kids were going to behave. My wife was going to behave. I was going to behave. And we would have the American dream. It'd just be perfect. And I was just going to add Jesus, and that was just going to be that. But then Nineveh comes along. I never dreamed that he would ask us to do things that I didn't really want to do. Never once. Not sure why. It was just not my dream. It was not my idea of what the gospel was or living a Christian life. It was all supposed to be easy. It's funny how that's not in the gospel. You don't see that displayed in Jesus' life. So in monuments, things that for me, things that mark you. And you all know kind of what it is, probably. And it's his love for me. that I'd heard all my life. And I'm not going to go down some boring spiels of all of that. But it is. I want to set some background of scriptures. I will not say not one word today that you've not heard from me, and especially from this house. But to live the life that he's called us all to, we've got to have some monuments. If it were not valuable and important, he wouldn't have told the children of Israel to do it. When you cross this river, you go back and you get 12 stones and you build a monument. And thousands of years from now, those children will go back and they will see what God has delivered them from. So hundreds, because in my life, it's funny how God has marked me with several things that's when he talks about understanding the love that goes beyond understanding, it's kind of hard for me to wrap my head around that. How am I supposed to understand something that you say I can't really understand? But you get to experience it. So there's some things that have happened in my life that's really beyond me, that you can't make up, right? It's those things that happen in your life that you just can't make up. You just got to believe it or you choose to ignore it. And you have those things. And here, and I'll take a word from my oldest daughter, Hannah, which is here. She didn't know I was speaking today, so hey, it's good to see you, Hannah. She just happened to show up. This is my testimony now. For today, this is my testimony. And in some of those moments that you just can't make up, that's got to be a monument for me. Because if he does ask you to go to Nineveh, and you really don't want to go to Nineveh, and you're wondering, why are you really asking me to go to Nineveh? I don't like Nineveh. I don't want to go down there. I don't like the people. I don't want to go. So much so that I'm going to go turn the other way, which a lot of us, maybe he's not asked you to go to Nineveh, but he's probably asked you to do something that maybe you just didn't really want to do and didn't do. And maybe you spent some days in the belly of a fish. And here's my testimony today. Is, yeah, maybe he does want to ask you some things that you really don't understand. And you go back to those monuments. And here's the funny thing to me. This is where I found myself maybe a month ago. This is all really fresh. Is if I've got one monument, it is that God loves me. Without a doubt. He's still teaching me about love. And we're going to talk a little bit about love. Guess what? And he's still teaching me about that. But I found myself about a month ago. When things that you didn't think would possibly happen, right? That you find yourself in a position or in a situation you think, I don't really understand it. And he immediately, if you remember about, sometime the first of the year, God spoke to me about confidence. And I talked about it here one Sunday morning, I think, at some point, about being confident that God, and it's, you know, but Philippians 1:6, being fully confident of this one thing, that the work God started in you, surely he will complete it, right? So he's going to complete it. And I was confident of that word for me, my family. Guess what? The very thing the enemy come to destroy immediately after that. Is being confident that God was actually going to use us. And being confident that what he started in my family, he was going to complete it. Because sometimes it doesn't look like he's going to. Sometimes it's hard. And in those moments of being hard, when you see your kids hurting, and there's not one thing you can do about it, and you see seemingly what you thought God had lined up, all of a sudden it just blows to smithereens. And you think, for me. I sat in silence for 2 weeks, and that's hard for me. I'm really talkative. 2 weeks, more or less, I just sat in silence and questioned the very thing that God had put in us. Are you sure? Oh God, what do we do? Oh God, what do I do? And for 2 weeks, it was questioning the very confidence that He so marked me with. And in those moments, Krista had some wise words too, because sometimes I think I've heard Sid say this. Sometimes Holy Spirit talks to me, and it sounds a lot like Lori. And that's me. Holy Spirit does talk to me, and a lot of times it does sound like Krista. But I had fallen into the trap of questioning. When your brother's laying, and this is, and some of you know my brother anyway, is diagnosed with cancer, and he's fighting, and there's just things you don't understand for me. Maybe y'all tell me after service and help me out. Some things I don't have answers for. It's the mysteries of God that we serve. But still yet, the very first song, He's Still Worthy. That's a monument. I've got to know that He's worthy no matter what. But I found myself not questioning His worthiness, but it's like, it'd just be easier to quit. Not quit on God, but maybe just not pursue, right? Let's just kind of sit back, play it safe. Familiar, the word, that was one of my words, and you said familiar this morning. Let's just stay with the familiar. Let's just ease along. It's less complicated. It's just not what He's called us to. If we're going to advance His kingdom, then there's warfare. I'm not here to give Satan a big hoorah. He's doing a good job. But he does come as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. That's his plan. He's coming to kill, John 10:10, steal, and destroy. Right? None of those sound like sexy terms to me. Not fun. And I'm kind of sick of it. Right? I mean, it's like, God. But I played into it. It blows me away. For 2 weeks, I was like, I mean, really, it was a pity party for me. Krista said some fine words, kind words, not so kind words. But some of the words was like, son of a gun, you're right. It's exactly what I'm doing. He had me. I mean, it was like he had me convinced. It's amazing. So that's my testimony of a little bit of where I am or where I've been. But simply because of hard things. Because some hard things that I didn't understand, didn't really want to do, sometimes still don't want to do. But is He worthy? I don't understand. And I don't have words for when my brother says, I get up every morning, I look in the mirror at a dying man. And I'm not here to make you feel sorry. It's not even about that. This is about the worthiness of the one that we serve when we still have no answers. And it's the mystery of this kingdom. It's the mystery of the God that we serve. It is still He's worthy. He is worthy because Jesus said the very same thing. He said, if there's really any other kind of way, and I don't quite understand all this either, but I just know it's in Scripture. And He says, if there's any other way, God, can there be another way other than what I'm about to go do? But if there's not, I'm in, right? Because of the joy. Somehow that turns to joy. I don't have all that figured out either. I just know it's what it says in Scripture. For the joy that was set before Him, He endured that same cross. So there's got to be a transition to where maybe these things that I may not have really wanted to do, maybe He changes my desires. Maybe. He gives you the desires of your heart. Maybe my desire changes. Maybe my desire becomes less about me and more about what He's called me into. that I'm willing to lay down my life, which he's called us into, lay down my life, take up my cross, and follow. None of those, again, sound like sexy terms, but it's the gospel that he calls us into. It's not this add just a little bit of Jesus to your life so you can go to heaven, which is really, I mean, and Sid says it a lot, it's a great place to start, and it is, and that's where the initiation begins. But boy, there's a whole invitation of giving your life for something greater than who you are. And that's what he's called us all into. If we're, Sid said the same thing you said when you was talking this morning about, I don't know where this will land. I think that's one of the words you said, I don't know where this will land. That you said Nicodemus, you were right along here, said he gave up to become. He gave up what possibly gave up his livelihood, gave up all that he was to do something greater than who he was. He gave up to become, and that's what Christ. There's Ephesians 5:1. Boy, I'm sorry, but we're going to get to this John 13, I'm sure. I'm going to run off from scriptures possibly, and then we're going to try to go read a story, if that's all right. Ephesians 1:5, imitate God. Yes, it says imitate God. Ephesians 5:1, imitate God in everything, I think the Passion says. Everything. Imitate God. Can you imitate God? Can we? Tons of scripture talks about live and walk and do just exactly like Jesus did. But can we? Why would he invite us into this journey of becoming or doing something that we cannot do? Follow me. Be imitators of God. Walk in love. Just as Jesus did, and he gave himself up for us. Nicodemus gave up to become. Jesus gave up to become. I think it's 2 Corinthians 8:8. He gave Jesus, speaking of Jesus, giving up to become. Philippians, have this mind in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, even though he was equal with God, yet for our sake, he gave that up. He gave that up to come to earth as a man. And not only that, to submit himself to a death, a criminal's death. He gave up to become. All throughout scripture, he gave up who he was to become man. He gave up to become. That's the journey he has invited us into, to give up to become. Is it a life worth living? I dare say so. Is it fun? At times, yeah, it is. And at times, no, it's not. I'm going to ask Ariel to share something. And this is my... I'm going to let you share. Come on. Come on up, if you don't mind. Do you mind? No. Everybody's laughing. You may be next. No, I'm just joking.
We
30 minutes.
I won't. I won't.
This is real life. No, seriously. I just got finished talking about Jesus gave up to become, doing something that you don't want to do. Go to Nineveh. I don't really want to go to Nineveh. Go to Nineveh anyway. It's the things that we talk about and do all the time. Every one of us. But this is real life. I mean, it's life.
I feel better if I sit down. We were in Honduras. We went on a mission trip with Marty and Krista with Project World, and it was on a Sunday because that morning we went to a local church, and this pastor, he was just so pure, and he just led so well. The church there is mainly women and children. I mean, it's pretty much him and his grandson, and the rest is pretty much women and children. And I could just feel my heart being tugged for him of just I guess growing up a pastor's kid, you know, I just thought, you know, God, I just hope you just strengthen him and just, you know, the work he's doing here. I know it's for you. And he's just, it was just so obedient. And we had a bonfire that night. And I, you know, it was a great church service. We did children's church. So I was mainly with that. I didn't even hear him, you know, preach or anything. So it wasn't really on the forefront of my mind. But that night we had a bonfire. And we were handing out glow sticks and all that. And then the pastor walked through the gate and God said, "You need to wash his feet." And I was like, "I'm not receiving that. Because I don't like feet. I don't even touch Rhett's feet." So I was like, it was so just consuming. I just couldn't get off my mind. And I leaned over to Rhett and I said, "I don't want to do this, but God told me I was supposed to wash the pastor's feet." And God lived right. He was like, "I'm with you, whatever, you know." I said, "I just want you to know I don't want to do this." I said, "But I don't want to get this wrong. And I'm more worried that I would get it wrong than me not wanting to do it. And if I'm being completely raw, I haven't been obedient to that in a long time." I feel like, thankfully, my family's in a good place. We have a good life. But I haven't said yes to the nudges in a while. And it was the first time I've kind of felt that fear of, I don't want to miss this. And I was so thankful to have that fear kind of rejuvenated again, because it'd been a minute, sadly. And I just told her, I just don't want to get this wrong. And I don't want to miss this. So I need you to help pray me through some of this stuff. And I went to Marty and said, you know, I want this to honor him. I didn't know the culture. I'm a female going to, I didn't know the situation, but I was just thankful that I had that overwhelming feeling of, this is not really what I want to do, but I really don't want to mess this up, Lord. And I really want to get this right. So not my will, but yours. And I just pray that from that point forward, you know, we could live in that place of not my will, but yours, because it's not always fun. And sometimes you're washing feet, and sometimes it looks like other things, but that was just the main takeaway on that.
And thank you. And tonight it's going to look like maybe you don't feel qualified to actually teach or lead in Vacation Bible School. Maybe that is your yes. Maybe it's, it's through the week. I don't really want to do that. You know, I'm kind of busy. All the things, right? But love looks like something. It does. It looks like something. All right. Now we're going to try to get into John 13. We're going to really do that, and we'll try to. Hey, we're going to be, man, see, it's 11:57. I'm not going to do like Brett and Sid and say, "Hey, I'm going to be 5 minutes and I'm going to be over with." I'm not even going to say it. No, I'm just joking. Because this really is, it's quite a long story, but just a little bit of background. Ephesians 1, 9, 10, 11, I think. And if you read in the Passion Translation, Paul is praying this: "I pray that your love would abound yet more and more with all discernment, with all insight." So love growing to a place, and actually John speaks about love being perfected, right? So that your love would grow to such a place that it just brings insight. It brings insight and discernment in how to live life. What's valuable of true worth and what's not of true worth. What's worth laying your life down for and what's not. But love growing is what determines that. So that's what brings insight, right? Okay? So along with that, the backdrop, and Paul talks about in Ephesians as well, not in Ephesians 5 where it talks about imitate God, walk in love. But along, I think it may be, maybe somebody can, 3 maybe, where it talks about Paul's praying that our love would grow and we would know the height, the depth, the breadth, the width, the vastness of this love. Y'all know what I'm talking about? In that, as that goes on, that love brings you to a place to where the fullness of God is on display in your life, and it's like, so imitating God, living a life representing the fullness of God, all that He is displayed through your life through our understanding of love, right? You can do all these things Paul talks about, 1 Corinthians 13, 12, 13, 14, all these things that you can do. If you don't have love, it's not going to be anything. You can have understand all mysteries, all knowledge, all faith, move mountains, give your life at the stake. But if you don't have love, then it's nothing. So love is a big deal. So if we miss, for me, if I miss becoming love, I miss the whole point of this gospel. Because it does compel me to live a life now that's from Heidi Baker's book. And I think it's like 2 Corinthians 5, I don't remember where that is, 5 or something, that you are compelled by love. Now, I'm compelled by this love to really basically not live for myself, but live for Him. It's the life of Jesus, right? I mean, if you want to see a life of love, it's manifest in Jesus' life. So anyway, Sid and I have talked about this stretch of passage for, you know, several times anyway. John 13, did I even say? Oh, yeah, there it is. John 13:33. And I'm going to skim over a lot of it because it's like, it's the rest of chapter 13 that goes over in the whole chapter 14. So I'm not going to sit here and read a chapter and a half for y'all. I would let Cindy Hannah do that, not me. But I won't ask, would you? No. She would. She's smiling. She said, yeah, sure I will. No, I won't do that. But I am going to summarize kind of, and y'all go back and dig into it later on. And it's all familiar. But this is one conversation, guys. This is not just like bits and pieces and how our Bible, you know, does all the things and got have headings and this and that. And it's funny. I'm just going to continue on. You know, we talked about monuments and who Jesus is to you. And it is. Who is Jesus to Ariel in that moment? Is He is worth way more. And I want to make sure I give of myself to get this right, because I feel like this is what He's doing in me. Right? So who is He to her in that moment? Is, no, I recognize this voice. I am going to do what He asked me to do, because in that moment, it's death to me, but it is so alive in me. And it's that, but that's the deal. So anyway, so Sid said something about, you know, after Jesus was washing the disciples' feet, and Peter said what he said, but this is the next scene. So Jesus washes the feet. Judas leaves, right? So we're getting it. I'm not sure. You can ask some theologians, and some of you guys in here can probably tell us how long it was from when Jesus washes the feet, Judas leaves. This is the next scene. Now, how long it was from this point to when he was actually crucified, I'm not sure. But I know this story from 13 up until like 19:20 is where it is. I don't know if that was a year, 6 months, 3 months, 1 week, 2 weeks. I don't know. Hours. There you go. So this is hours. This is quick. So this is what he's saying. So Judas leaves. In verse 31, just, no, you don't have to go. Or maybe you can go. But verse 31 says this, and that's the only reason I want to say that. And when he had gone out, is what the ESB says. And when he had gone out, Jesus said this. He going out was Judas leaving, right? Right after he washed his disciples' feet. Judas left. Now the Son of, and this is Jesus' words, now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in Him. If God is glorified in Him, God will also glorify Him in Himself, and glorify Him all at once. Boy, that's a bunch of glorified. So He's glorified, right? So He's done it in Himself. God's done it. Jesus has done it. He's all the things. He's glorified. Verse 33, little children, yet a little while I have with you, you seek me. You will seek me, and just as I have said to the Jews, so now I also say to you, where I'm going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you're my disciples, if you have love for one another. I've got to, and that's not where we're going to end. Because I want to go all the way to 14, right? But so anyway, my Bible breaks. But again, remember, this is all one conversation. So he just says, dude, I'm glorified. I'm going. You can't come with me right now. But this one thing I want to leave you, right? So it must have been, you've heard 1,000 people say, probably imported if it was some of Jesus' last words, to love one another. All right. Peter's response is this. Y'all check this out. This cracks me up. Hey, can you go to 36? Look at you go. Son of a God. Man, I hadn't spoke since you had it in the front of you too. That worship team, that's kind of nice, huh? I like that. So this is what Peter said. Lord, where are you going that I can't go? Jesus has just given him some great instruction to love, right? But this is what Peter got out of it. Dude, where are you going that I can't go? He said, where are you going that I can't follow you? Where are you going? But, you know, you got to cut Peter some slack. If you read up until this point, how many places did Jesus actually go that Peter was not allowed to go? He was in the in crowd, right? Peter, James, John. There was not many places that you saw in Scripture that Peter didn't get to go. So now all of a sudden you're telling me, I can't go. What the what? Don't you remember? I'm one of your favorite. I get to go. Where you go, I go. Go ahead. Peter said to him, Lord, why can't I go? Why can't I follow you? I will lay down my life for you. I will. I'll lay down my life for you. I mean, I'm in this. So anyway, where am I? And then Peter, what did I just read? Where I'm going, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow me afterwards. Peter said to him, why can't I follow you now? I'll lay down my life for you. And Jesus answered this, will you lay down your life for me? Truly, truly, I say to you, the rooster will crow, will not crow till you have denied me 3 times. So we all know the story, right? Does everybody in here knows that story? That, okay. So then the story goes on. Let not your heart, because this is his response to Peter. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's, there's plenty of room for you, Peter, is basically what he's saying. There's plenty of room. Don't be fretting that you can't go. There's plenty of room. I promise, Peter, you'll be all right. There's going to be plenty of room, place for you. And I'm going to read in, this is chapter 14, verse 3. And if I go prepare a place for you, I'll come back and I'll take you unto myself. And where I am, you'll also be there. And then here's another response. Oh, Thomas. It's what Thomas had to say about it. Thomas said, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? I mean, it's a valid kind of question. I don't know where you're going. If I don't know where, James is really good with this because I think he plans out and maps out. I mean, if we're going to Seattle or wherever you're going, I mean, you kind of map it out and have a plan. And possibly, I guess you do too when y'all go to wherever. Well, you've got a plan now. You go the same route, I'm assuming. Or maybe you mix it up. I don't know. But it's like, if you don't know you're going to Salt Lake City, or if you don't know you're going to wherever you're going, it's kind of hard to know the way. But this is what Thomas thought. It's like, Jesus, how can we know? How can we know? And this is what Jesus said to him. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, get that. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. Because he's talking to Thomas. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you will know him. because you have seen him. Perfect theology, right? Sid talks about it's perfect theology. Jesus is perfect theology. He is the perfect manifestation of the invisible God, I think Hebrews says. So you've seen me. Now you know the way. Now you know all the things. Then here's old Philip. Same conversation. This is the boys. Here's old Philip. Lord, well, show us the Father. Because he just got finished saying, in verse 7, if you had known me, you would also know my Father also. And from now on, you do know him and have seen him. This is Jesus' response. And then Philip said, well, just Lord, just show us the Father and it'll be enough for us. It'll be settled, the whole thing. Just show us God. And then this is Jesus' response to old Philip. Have I been with you so long and you still don't know me? So this is like 3 years. We're solid 3 years in. Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. Perfect theology again. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the work. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe on the account of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the very works that I do, and greater works will you do, because I'm going to the Father. But whatsoever you say in my name, I will do, and the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I'll do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. So here's an expression of love. If you love me, you're going to do what? You're going to keep my commandments. It's an expression of love, is keeping the commandments. Not keeping the commandments to express your love. Right? There's a difference. I live that I'm going to keep commandments to express my love, or to show you, display my love. No. Your love for him displays itself in keeping the commandments. It's not the other way around. The other way around is religion, and it's brutal, and it's a yoke that you will never, never, never get rid of until you get out of religion. Amen. So again, still one conversation. And I'm going to skip on down because it's a lot of stuff, but I want to get on down to 14:28-29. Is that all right if we skip on down? Thank you. One thing I want to say about that I find comforting in these three responses, for me personally, I think it's in Mark, where it's in one of the Gospels, where Jesus sent out his disciples, right, the apostles. He sent out the 12. Take satchels, take all your stuff, go out, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, do all those things, right? They come back, they talk about all the good that they have done, they're really excited. And then the next scene kind of is like them, well, I'm the greatest. I cast out more demons than you did. You know what I mean? It's that whole competition thing. So you find themselves doing that. And seemingly, if I had been Jesus, I would have thought, God, these jokers still don't get it. What we're going to do? We're going to have to go back to class. We need a discipleship 101. But no, you know what he did? He sent out 70 of them instead. So you'd sent 12 and it didn't go well. The results were really good, but the motives behind it were not good at all, right? So instead of just saying, okay, we're going to boycott, we're going to scratch all this off, we're going to start all over, he didn't. He sent 70 more. So this is, Sid just got finished saying, we were hours from Jesus being crucified. So these are the guys that were going to continue on, and Scripture says, that turned the world upside down. Right? Scripture says these 12 disciples, along with the other followers of Jesus Christ, turned the world upside down. So they obviously believed at some point this is worth dying for, because you have Peter that completely missed the mark. It said, where are you going that I can't go? Don't you remember? I'm one of your guys. Then you have Thomas that says, how can we know the way? You hadn't told us where we're going. Where are you going? And then you have Philip Just show us God, and then we'll be all right. And he says, if you had known me. So they had no clue. They were still out in left field. And this is 3 years in, and they're about. So me, I would be thinking, I don't know if I can leave. I don't know if I can hand the baton off to these guys because they still don't get it yet. I mean, seriously, I find comfort in that. Because I am that guy that says, I don't know how I can get Jesus down off the cross, but he's asked me to do it, so obviously we can do it, right? One thing, and I don't know where this saying comes from, but he does not call the qualified. He qualifies the called, right? So, same way tonight. Maybe you feel kind of inadequate about maybe your role tonight, or maybe you are fully confident that God's going to use you however he desires. But it's in those moments to where we do wade off into the unknown and maybe not so sure of those things that he calls us and he meets us, always in surrender. Always. Bill Johnson says this, never miss an opportunity to die. That's what Ariel did. Never miss an opportunity to die, because in that death, you come alive. So anyway, in verse 28, 14:28, and this is Jesus. Now, this is the same conversation. Remember, same conversation. You have heard me say, I am going away, and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced because I'm going to the Father. Love brings a different response. If they had loved him, they would have known that he was going to the Father. So how was they were supposed to know? How would they have known? Scripture says, if you had loved me, you would have known. And maybe you wouldn't, maybe would not have known, but your response would have been way different. You would have been happy that I was going. But instead, you were selfish. It was all about me and how it affected me. It's all about how it made me feel. Well, that don't make me feel real good. He really wasn't, not that he's not concerned about it, but it's an invitation into more of all that he has for us. And it starts with love, because love brings insight. If you match that with Philippians 1:9, that love brings insight, for our love to grow to a space to where we have insight into all things, and to approve what is excellent, to approve what is worthy to give our lives to, and not to give our lives to. He clearly says, if you had loved me, you would have rejoiced, and you wouldn't have had this whole dialogue. Well, what about me? Jesus, don't you know I'm Peter? I go with you to these places that no one else gets to go. It was all about him. So instead, it's, Jesus, man, I'm really glad you're going. It's not about me. I want to read, and then I really am, Luke, and I'm going to read this in the Passion. I'm sorry, I didn't. I think it's Luke 9:24. And I keep going back to Vacation Bible School, I guess, because, you know, you see all the decorations. It's really cool. I kind of like it. I wish we had turned everything off and just had all the lights. But maybe there are some of you that are volunteering that maybe are kind of nervous or wondering, you know, I'm really not. Maybe you have some questions, kind of like Philip and Thomas and Peter. It's like, I don't think I can do this. What are we doing? But your surrender is, no, I'll go. Maybe I'll teach a class, and maybe I don't feel qualified. Maybe I'll help someone teach a class. I'll just show up. There's value in showing up and being present. It's what Jesus has asked every one of us. If Jesus is filling himself everywhere in everything through his ambassadors, which are us, right? We play a significant role in the kingdom advancing on the earth. To disregard that because we don't want people to be arrogant and to think of themselves as worthy, because we're not. He's made us worthy. And he's invited us in to be his ambassador. So you have an assignment. And I guess I'm going to say this because James talks about it. You know, I just might handle bars. If Jesus fills himself in everything, everywhere, with himself, that's what Paul says, through the church. Through the church, Jesus himself, being the head, reveals himself in the earth, in everything, and in everywhere with himself. Then we have a really important role to play in that. So even if we're making handlebars and we're on the phone solving complaints, if we're on a college campus, if we're at work, wherever you are, we need you. Because in that moment, if everything is devoted to God, everything that I do, to him be glory, right? In everything I do, then he's in that moment just as sure as he's in the moment that we're standing in now. Sid talks about it all the time. Nothing goes beyond without him knowing it. So there's value in me answering a phone or sitting by myself in an apartment painting. There's value in that. We need all of us to play the role. If every joint and ligament and tendon supplying what the other's lacking, then we need each other and we need everyone filling that role. We need vacation Bible school teachers. We need an aerial to come up and get everything organized. We need that. Because there's without that, there's no way that he's going to fill himself in everything, everywhere with himself at all times. So be that person, right? 9:24, Luke. For if you choose self-sacrifice, giving up your lives for my glory, you will embark on a discovery of more and more true life. That's the adventure. That's the adventure that he's offered to every one of us. I love national parks. I love mountains. I love water. There's something, I don't know, I want to say magical. It may not be the right word to say about it. I don't know. Forgive me, you know, straighten up my mess when I get out. But there's something there. But this adventure, there's something there. And if I choose to live a life that Jesus has invited me into, a life just like his, Scripture, throughout Scripture, walk just as he walked. Not less than he walked. Walk just like he walked. Live just like he lived. And this is it. I mean, Jesus gave up to become the Son of Man. He gave up all of glory to come. He made himself nothing. That's the life. It's not fun. I don't like feet, don't like smelling feet, and I don't want to do dirty feet for sure. I don't want to teach vacation Bible school. I don't want to lead worship. I don't want to do whatever. I don't want to be in the soundboard. I don't want to be back in the back with... Thank y'all for videoing back there, Jeffrey. Right? I mean, it's all those things. I mean, he's going to ask us to do things that maybe we don't want to do. And this is, it's for if you choose, you have a choice. There's a response. We can choose it or we cannot. But if you choose self-sacrifice, giving up your life for my glory, you will embark, I love this language, you will embark on a discovery of more and more true life, because it's in those moments I would give, and it's in those moments that we come alive, and it's placing so much of a value on those moments of encounter that I'm willing to wash a foot, or actually 2 feet, and stoop to go low. And that's the life that he's asked us to, he's invited us into. Now, if you'll all stand up. Or if y'all, is that all right? Can I close? You. Again, thank you for tonight. I think, well, hey, can we pray? Oh, man. Yeah, because that's where we're headed. That's it. So, yeah, thank you.
I need Marty to preach every Sunday at Vacation Bible School, because I actually had the conversation with Red. I was like, I don't really know if Vacation Bible School is my calling. I'm not creative. I'm not. But God said, I'll meet you there. I'll meet you there. And we probably don't do a very good job talking about what all happens with Vacation Bible School. But, like, I mean, just last year, really every year, there's a bunch of things we can discuss. But, I mean, we have salvation. Amen. We have, last year, we did a night. It was the second through fifth grade group. They wrote down something they wanted God to meet, where they wanted God to meet them at, what they wanted to give to God. I mean, we had things of fear of things happening in their home, of parents arguing. I mean, this is very real things. It's not just coming to eat Chick-fil-A nuggets. This is God meeting these children. And, you know, Brett House praying with a guy who's just struggling with anxiety and leaving that at the altar. It's not just crazy decorations. But that's what gets them here. And that's why we're so appreciative of y'all surrounding us and helping make this happen. But I've just been in prayer about this week, and I've just like, God, what do you want for this? What do you have? And then is the first lesson tonight is where it said, God says, "Who do you say I am?" And this week was just preaching on. So my prayer this week, and I just want y'all, whether you can be here or not be here, or just be in prayer for these kids. I already texted Cindy yesterday. I said, I just have anxiousness that I need to go away of, like, are we going to have kids show up? Because I think every church in Harrelson County is having it this week. And God said, the kids that need to be here are going to be here. And the kids that need to be at First Baptist with Stephanie Rowe praying over them, like, that's who's going to be here. Just join me in prayer, please. And I just have so much gratitude for our church family, for y'all making this possible, and your prayers this week. Because it is all of our calling to do this. If we're a child of God, it is our calling. And that can look, you can serve in a bunch of different capacities. And that capacity may be, I'm at work, but I'm praying for that kid that's going to walk in, because God specifically told me that he said, my presence will be so consuming that generational curses will be broken when they come in the sanctuary. And I believe in that. And I know that sounds far-fetched, but God dropped that in my spirit. I thought, why not? Why not? Whether they recognize it or not, that generational curses are going to be broken off families as these children walk in, and they're going to have childlike faith, and that the seeds planted are going to come to harvest. And it doesn't have to be a life of turmoil. Whether mom and dad are arguing next week, whatever that kid, when he wrote that down, whether that's still happening, God said, you are mine, and I will protect that, and it will be blessings instead of curses. So if y'all would just join me in prayer for this week. Father, we are so so grateful. God, you are so good. Father, we thank you that as of right now, we are standing on holy ground because of you, because of your blood that you poured out for us, God. God, I thank you that there is no task too small. God, you will meet us where we're at. I pray for every kid walking into Victory Fellowship this week. God, I pray that you would soften their hearts. They would have sound minds. God, even if they are just coming for the Chick-fil-A nuggets, God, that you would just meet them where they're at. I pray for first generation salvation. I pray for 18th generation salvation this week, God. I pray and declare that if there is a single person that walks in this church building that doesn't know you, they would walk out with you as their Lord and Savior of their life. God, I pray they would say yes the first time their heart is convicted. Yeah. The first time. soften their hearts. God, I pray for every volunteer. I pray that every word that comes from our mouth will be from you. I thank you for your presence that is abiding in us and in this church building on these church grounds. I thank you for our church family. I thank you for the sacrifice and love poured out. And I thank you that you are meeting us exactly where we are. You are a good, good Father. You are worthy. And I thank you. We love you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Hey, have a great week.